With an international break upon us, we reflect on a roller coaster opening 8 game weeks. From standouts to surprises, we also offer some wildcard wisdom. Well done if you've made it. The first blank game week of the season has been survived. We're here. Kelly Summers back with you. And as always, it's hello to Julian Neron. Morning, Jules.
Hello.
And hello to Sam Bonfield. Usually, Sam, I'd say half of FPL family, but you've let a certain someone join us today.
I know. I've let him crash the party, Kelly. Can you believe it? And here's my husband, Lee Bonfield from FPL Family.
Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. What a privilege it is to be here with you three on the FPL podcast. The first time, I think, Sam, that you and I have been on together, right? I don't think we've done an official podcast together before. So this is quite a momentous occasion.
This is like history.
Uncharted territory, this is, Jules. Wow. Yeah.
Who knows what will happen?
Let's just fill the listener in on the fact that Sam, if anyone's watching this by video, they'll see that Sam's in a different location. Lee, you've managed to elbow her out of her usual spot and she's been demoted downstairs.
Yeah, and do you know what? We have one really good mic that we take it in turns whenever we're doing the podcast. I've managed to nab the mic as well. She's got the inferior mic. So if there's any sort of audio issues, then you can blame the poor equipment in the other room. Yeah, absolutely.
Can't believe it, can you?
Is this the point where I should say you may have the inferior equipment, but it's a good job that you have the better FPL knowledge, Sam?
Oh, yes.
That's exactly right, Kelly.
You're right.
who's winning so far? Who's ahead of the other one?
Good question.
Probably shouldn't bring that up.
Lee's winning. Unusually, Lee is winning.
Hold on a minute. Unusually, I had a pretty strong end to last season. Thank you very much.
Come on, Lee. It's been a good start.
It's a good start to this season. I'm at about, where am I? About 210K, 215K, something like that. So just played the wild card as well last week. So more on that a bit later on. But it's been, solid start. Solid start.
Okay, so you played your wild card. Let's be honest. Every time all of us play a wild card, it seems that week one of the wild card, of the new squad, never goes to plan. How did it go?
Solid is probably the word I'd use. The thing with the wild card is that you spend the whole week kind of tinkering and looking at lots of different options, don't you? So by the time the game week is said and done, you go, oh, well, I did think about Son for a while, or I did think about, whatever, because you've thought about pretty much every option throughout the week. But there was a couple of players that I took out of my wild card that stung. Now, when I took Gabriel Jesus out and I put Mitrovic in, I did think with that Brentford game coming up, that might hurt me. Gabriel Jesus is the sort of player and he's got the sort of ownership in FPL to hurt. So when that happened, I was accepting of it because it was a risk I was prepared to take, Kelly, for the longer term. But when I took Saliba out of my team on the wild card, that stung significantly more. A double-digit haul from, probably one of the form defenders in FPL and in the Premier League right now. He looks great, doesn't he, Saliba? So that one stung, but overall it was 59 points. I feel like I'm set up for the next few weeks, as you're supposed to do, I guess, on the wild card. It's for the longer term, isn't it? Or at least until we get the unlimited transfers over the World Cup. So yeah, I'm reasonably happy with where I am with it, Kelly.
Okay, well, we'll dive into wild cards a little bit more later on because lots of people are pressing the button this week with it being an international break. But Jules, after teasing it last week, you did go through with your free hit. We can never be sure because you are quite indecisive, but you did do it.
I am indeed.
How did it go for you?
No, it went great, Kelly. I tried first to make some transfers and take maybe a minus four and see where I was at, but I was too many players on the blank week. So I felt really, I had to play the free hit. Last week we discussed it and Liam, for example, who was with us, was saying like, oh, I always like playing here for double game weeks and it makes a lot of sense and I'm sure all of you will probably do that. I felt like I didn't have much of a choice really. So I played it and played it well because I got 80 points.
Nice.
Yeah, wow. Heung-Min was the big pick, of course. And remember, please, can we play my clip from last week? And my big call is Heung-Min Son this week. I think Son against Leicester could be the game where it finally happened. Yeah, I said to you, that was a good week. Even Sam agreed. Although when he started on the bench, I was like, oh my God, that was a terrible idea. I hope no one listened to the show last week. But in the end, I mean, I could not believe the hat-trick in 13 minutes.
What an unbelievable hat-trick, by the way. Oh,
and
so good.
The first and two goals, especially, so amazing. And well done to him for missing some easier chances before in the season, but having a breakthrough with those kind of goals, I think he's even more special. So that was good. He could have been better because I took a bit of a gamble on Gordon, for example, at Everton, thinking that maybe against West Ham he could do something good, and he was disappointed. But overall, I was very happy, of course, with the 80 points, you know.
Yeah, I'm just having a look through your free hit team and who you went with. You stuck with Kane, Haaland and Jesus. Lots of wildcarders like Lee getting rid of Jesus, but your faith paid off. Son, Andreas, Gordon, Saka over Martinelli. You spoke about him last week as well. Cancelo, hello.
I closed my eyes every time that he was on screen, so I could not see the number seven, literally. I drew another seven on the TV screen to make sure it was 77 every single time, or 17 or something.
You also had Trippier, Emerson Royale and Pope in goal. And then we don't really need to look at your bench because they didn't come on and they didn't score any points anyway. So a solid free hit for you. Sam, no chips in play. How did your game week go though?
Actually, for a team that only had 10 players, and this is the kind of thing I was talking about last week, like it doesn't necessarily matter sometimes in a blank game week if you can't field a full 11. Up 59 last week, the same as Lee did on wildcard, but I only had 10 players playing. So the captaincy on Harry Kane was a good one. Just had a little dig in there. Did anybody know?
Did you hear that, Jules? Yeah, did you hear that? That was a right little dig there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't play my wildcard, only had 10 players, got the same as him.
Oh my God, yeah.
But yeah, I had the captaincy armband on Harry Kane, as I said I would if I brought him in, and that paid off. Although there was a bit of disappointment that came with me with the Sun goals. Obviously, as a Spurs fan, absolutely delighted to see those three goals go in. As an FPL manager, I was sat here thinking, we said on the pod last week, when Sun gets one, he's likely to go on and get more. And I did have this real niggling feeling that it was going to be this week against Leicester, because he's got a great record against them. And of course it was. So there's a slight tinge of kind of negativity, I guess, that comes with it, because you think, oh, if I'd have had him, he's such a differential, it would have boosted up my overall rank massively. But still, a good game week, and now in a nice position moving forward with all chips still in play.
We've spoken about Son, understandably, a lot already, but a word on him, Sam, as a Spurs fan. Liam Frey, our guest last week from the Cortina, said, when he scores, we have to move on him. Is now the time to bring him in? Are the goals going to come now he's got that hat trick?
I think so. I mean, it was that first goal celebration for me where he stood almost completely still like a statue in the middle of the pitch, kind of as if to say, you could feel the weight lifting off his shoulders, couldn't you? Yeah, you could see the kind of, that's done now. I've got the one, now I'll move on. And almost immediately after that, you know, within 13 minutes, he's got two more. So I think now is a good moment. And he's such a great differential in the game. So if you are, you know, wildcarding right now, if you are looking to change up the way that your premiums are operating, you know, if you are heavily invested in teams like Man City or Arsenal with the blank coming up in game week 12, then now looks like a great opportunity to invest in Son at a time where he's going to do massive gains to your overall rank if he continues in the form that he is.
Definitely on my watch list, that's for sure. Well, we are going to talk about wildcards as we keep teasing. But before we do that, let's take a little look back. As we are 8 game weeks in, let's do a little bit of a season review so far and see just who's caught our eye in a good way and in a bad way. So let's start with the standout picks. Lee, for you, who's been the standouts?
Well, I think, it'd be very easy to sit here and say that Haaland's been a standout pick. And I think we'd all agree with that. But I'm not going to go there because that's a bit too obvious. But I will go with who I think... a lot of wildcarders, whether you did it in game week 8 or you're planning to do it in 9 or whether you haven't done it yet at all, I still think Mitrovic is worth the transfer in. He's got 6 attacking returns already, all goals, by the way, no assists. So from an FPL perspective, that's what we like, right? Goal hungry strikers. And he's looking like, I wouldn't say locked into that second striker spot, but he's starting to feel a bit that way, right? Despite the blank in last game week. And by the way, that was a bit of an unusual occurrence, wasn't it? The fact that Fulham scored 3 goals in a short period of time, and neither he nor Andreas Pereira, who are the two FPL assets in that Fulham side with the highest XGI, the expected goal involvement. So we expect the FPL points to come from these two players, yet we got goals and assists from pretty much everybody else in that Fulham side. So Mitrovic owners, particularly those like me who got him in on the wildcard last week, were a little bit disappointed about that. But look, here's a player who right now is 4th best in the league for points per minute. He's getting an FPL point every 13.8 minutes. So yes, Haaland up front, Mitrovic to go with him. And then probably there's some conversation later on that we'll probably have about who we have in that third striker spot. But Mitrovic, for me, he's had a great start to the season. I can only see it going one way. He's going to get better and better.
Was there any concern, though, that Fulham did score those goals and he wasn't involved at all? Does that worry you at all? Do you think that's just a one-off?
I think it's probably a bit of a one-off, Kelly. It was a bit unusual. I mean, we saw him play, I think, the pre-assist in at least one of the goals, which means that he's involved the in the play.
The worst in FPL.
He should get a point,
yeah,
really.
Which we hate, right?
Yeah, yeah, sometimes the second assist is harder than the assist itself, you know, man. Yeah.
You're absolutely right about that. But, you know, the underlying BPS, all the things that he was doing in that game, the kind of the hold-up play, bringing others into play, yeah, we maybe don't like that from an FPL perspective, but here we have a player that is fundamental to the way that Fulham plays, their talisman, or is certainly becoming their talisman this season. And the whole of the team is oriented around him. Okay, no FPL points last game week, but I expect there'll be more coming forward for him.
Okay, so Lee has said Haaland slash Mitrovic. Sam, who are you going to go for?
I mean, Haaland is the absolute standout, isn't he? He's just unbelievable. And he is on target to beat the record ever FPL season if he carries on like this. So the record currently stands at 303 points for Salah in the 17-18 season. If Haaland continues like this, he's on track to beat that by like 73 points, which is just an unbelievable achievement. So he's obviously the standout. But for me, sticking alongside the Fulham lines, it's Andreas Pereira that's been the real kind of standout pick for me, because at 4.6 million, he's just at an unbelievable price point where he's enabling the rest of your team. Not only that, he's tied ninth for crosses amongst midfielders. Only six midfielders have created more chances than the 14 that he's made so far this season. And the ones that are above him in those records are between 1.4 and 8.3 million more expensive than he is. So when you take it as it is, looking at the player prices and looking at what they've done so far, I think Andreas Pereira has to be up there as one of the standouts of the season so far.
I took a minus four for him at the deadline last week. I should also admit at this point, Jules and Sam, you know my pain at the deadline in our WhatsApp group. I was arriving at Aston Villa just before the deadline. I'd been a bit late anyway because of train problems and the like, and I needed to get there. And then I found myself stopping in the corridor at Aston Villa to make a transfer because I was so worried about not having 11 players. And that transfer was to bring in Pereira, and he got me a grand total of 1 point. But hopefully, Sam, better things to nice. Come, yeah? It was a good transfer yeah. still.
It's still, absolutely. I mean, Fulham have been in really good form. They've started the Premier League campaign in the same way that they ended the Championship last season. You know, they were phenomenal throughout the Championship. And obviously, Andreas has arrived. He's fitted in nicely to that system. He's got set-piece responsibility as well. He's so attacking. When you look at the position maps of the players in that Fulham team, he's right up there at the top end of the pitch, which is where you want him. And at 4.6 million, the way that that enables you to improve the rest of your squad without compromising that fifth midfielder spot is so important, because usually that fifth midfielder spot is a bit of a burner. It's a player that you never really want to come onto your pitch, but not this year. You want Andreas playing.
Brilliant. I feel a little bit better about that now. Jules, it's always the hardest to do the standout pick when I come to you third, but I know that you're an FPL and a football expert, so you're going to pull one out of the bag for us here.
Be one of his boys coming now, Kelly.
No, I keep that for the surprise of the season. You see, I would say Nick Pope. I mean, it's not a surprise that he was. He's obviously a very good goalkeeper, but to move to a new club is always very different, especially that Newcastle play very differently to what he's had for many years at Burnley, for example. But for him to do so well, he's the most owned goalkeeper right now in the game. Although, as we always say, you know, keepers are quite split, to be fair, more than other positions maybe. But he's done amazingly well. He's got the most point in all the goalkeepers. He's made that defense so solid. And also, for the people who double up with Trippier, that those two have been really good in terms of points returned for you, because I think mostly because of Pope saves and his presence and also all the bonus points that he got himself. So I've been very impressed with him so far this season.
Do you know what, Jules? It's a great shout. And I like the way that Eddie Howe's got them set up at the back. They seem to be restricting the opposition to low XG opportunities, yeah. So long shots and half chances. And what does that mean? That means that Pope has got a higher chance of making a save. Might be an easy save to make, but from an FPL perspective, we still chalk that up as an extra save. So that feeds the underlying bonus points as well. So before you know it, with a clean sheet for Nick Pope, all of a sudden he's on a kind of 10, 11 point haul for a goalkeeper. That's absolutely what you're looking for. So yeah, I agree with you. Still good value.
Well, before we move on to the surprises of the season, not too much of a surprise when we look at the transfers in for the season so far. Erling Haaland way up there at the top, owned by over 80% of managers now. Then Kieran Trippier, Gabriel Martinelli, Pascal Gross, Rodrigo. I think that was probably prior to his injury. Alexander Mitrovic, Ivan Toney, Kevin De Bruyne. I'm wondering if any of those are going to feature in, as Jules just teased it, our surprise of the season so far, which is what we're going to do next. Jules, as I came to you last for the first bit, you can go first.
Da, 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 da. Saliba! Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da.
He's actually, I should also say, Jules, he's actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's ninth most transferred in for the season so far. Yeah. I just didn't read that far down the list, sorry.
And I hope
the producer of the show can clip that dance as well, by the way, Jules. That was insane. I love that.
I was at Brentford Arsenal for Indonesian TV, MTech. This is, you know, I'm big worldwide, as you know. And I did tweet a little video of the Arsenal fans in the away and at Brentford singing the Saliba song after his goal. And they said to me, and Saliba, and we heard the songs, and they made me sing the song live on Indonesian TV. So
as if you needed any persuasion.
You don't need to be encouraged.
That's true. To be fair. And also, as Sam rightly said earlier, he's one of my boys. And more seriously, I knew how good he was because I've seen him from a very long time, and he's also from Paris. But I never thought he would be that good so quickly in normal football, let alone in fantasy football. And I just think he deserves a lot of credit for adapting so quickly. Even if you're a very good player, this is still so different and he's still so very young to anything that he's known before. And for him to be so good, to be so confident in a way, and to be so assured in what he does and the way Arteta wants him to play and the way he has to play for this Arsenal team, plus, of course, the goals, but everything that he does on the pitch is pretty remarkable. So 44 points. I never thought I would say that after 8 game weeks, you know, my boy would be the leading defender in the game. But yes, he is. I think it's an incredible surprise in a way, but also achievement for him. And I hope it lasts, of course. But so far, he's been incredible.
Any concern over the next couple of fixtures, Spurs and then Liverpool?
Yeah, of course, in the sense that they are bigger clubs than most of what he's faced before. But I think he also wants those tests, and he could do very well against a Harry Kane like he did against an Ivan Toney, for example. It's a different level, but I think he's got the potential to be excellent in those two games as well. And Arsenal as a defense are looking very strong collectively as well. It's not just him v another one, or Gabriel v another one, or you know, Tierney or Zinchenko v another one. As a collective, all that back five is very solid. So no, I mean, really, really impressive.
Yeah, one to also have on your radar if you are looking at Arsenal players, or if you're trebled up like a lot of us are. They also don't have a fixture in game week 12. That game against Manchester City has been postponed.
I told you, by the way, to bring in your team. You did. Then you had a dig at me on the show last week or the week before because he had 1 point against United or something like that. I bet you were happy with his 15 this week.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I'll give you a little bit of credit, but it's taken him a few weeks to get going for me, that's for sure. Long overdue. Sam, your biggest surprise of the season so far?
It's Pascal Gross for me. I think over the last two seasons, he's been hinting at being this quality player in FPL, but we've never quite seen the heights of it, really. But this season, we're on 3 goals already. That's one more than he got last time around. He's already got more attacking returns this season than he got in the whole of last season last year. Last year, he got 88 FPL points over the course of the season as a whole. This year, he's on 42 after 7 games. So we are talking about a player that has found his confidence, has found his position in that Brighton team, and he's looking fantastic. And that came as a bit of a shock to me, because if you'd have said to me in pre-season, pick a Brighton asset going forward that you want to invest in, I'd have 100% gone with Trossard. He felt like the right asset to own because historically he's been the one that's always returned the most points. But this season, it's been Gross. Now, we're yet to really see what Brighton are going to look like under their new manager, because obviously they've appointed a replacement now for Graham Potter. But I think at his price point, Gross, even with a terrible run of fixtures, which Brighton have coming up over the next few weeks, he still looks like he might be a decent option, particularly if you've got a bench strong enough to cover him in the more difficult games. But so far, he's the surprise of the season for me.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good shout. I'm always hesitant to bring in Brighton attackers, but he's certainly got some hauls so far this season. Lee, what about you? Or are you going to do a reverse surprise and say that your boys Liverpool have surprised you in the fact that they haven't performed? I admit that's a bit of a mean thing to bring up.
Yes, I would agree with you on the Liverpool front, although a couple of key players coming back. I'm hoping for an upturn of form in terms of Thiago and Matip and et cetera. A couple of key players coming back, but more on Liverpool a bit later on. But the surprise package for me, I have to go back to Arsenal with Jules and agree with him on the Saliba thing, but Martinelli has been fantastic for us. Now, he's been a bit of a surprise to maybe me and to maybe a few of us on the podcast here. But if you speak to the Arsenal fans, I think they were kind of expecting this to be a bit of a breakout season for him. And when they signed Gabriel Jesus in the summer, and when I looked at some of the performances from Arsenal in pre-season, some of their pre-season friendlies, you could just see that cohesion was kind of already there with a big player like Gabriel Jesus coming in as the engine room up front there for Arsenal. And Gabriel Martinelli absolutely taken full advantage of that. And the likes of Ødegaard as well looking good. Saka now starting. Saka a little bit of a slowish start to the season from an FPL perspective, but you can feel that he's ramping up and finding a bit of form, which from an England perspective is perfect with the World Cup on the horizon, right? But Gabriel Martinelli is the one for me. He's gone from 6.0 to 6.6 in terms of his price. He's quite highly owned now. I think almost half the game have got him. He's like 47% owned, I think, at time of recording. So listen, this is not a guy that's going to be a differential anymore if you haven't got him, but he's still a pretty good enabler at 6.6, still incredible value. Great eye for goal, tons of attacking returns already. I will just caveat it with the same caveat that we gave to William Saliba, which is the Arsenal fixtures do take a little bit of a turn now. They've got Spurs and Liverpool, both at home, which are games I think Martinelli can do well in and can get goals. But just be aware that we've got that blank in game week 12 coming up. So if you've got Martinelli, you might be thinking about who you might bring in for him ahead of game week 12, or certainly who you might bring in off your bench for him. But I don't think that he would be a buy right now for me. If you've got him, you hold, I think, for these two home games with maybe a view to sell in game week 12. But I don't think I'd be bringing him in right now because of that blank. But listen, we're talking about surprises of the season. He's been fantastic. Mm.
Yeah, he has. What about disappointments then? If we're going to talk about the positives, we have to talk about the negatives. And I'm going to start this bit by saying Mo Salah, the most transferred out player of the season so far. So Sam, is he the leading contender for this category, unfortunately?
Yeah, sadly, it's him and Trent Alexander-Arnold, massive standout disappointments of the season so far. And I think that that's partly as a result of how exceptional they've both been over the last few seasons. And as FPL managers, we've become accustomed to being able to give the armband to Salah, to being able to just set and forget on Trent in that defence and let them rack up the points. And when we look at Salah this season in comparison to last season, he had 57 points after six games last season. This season, that's just 32. Now, that's a massive difference in terms of less returns for the millions that you've got to spend on him. He'd had five goals by this stage last season. He's only got two this season. And that's reflected in Trent's stats as well. So Trent, 35 points compared to just 24 this time around. He has got the same number of attacking returns, two of those, but three clean sheets last time and just two for Liverpool this time. So Liverpool generally a bit of a disappointment for us as FPL managers. And I actually think Liverpool fans, not to speak for my husband, I'm sure he'll speak about it in a minute, but I think Liverpool fans generally will be disappointed with the way that they've started the season. And it isn't because they've become bad options overnight. And, you know, those Salah sellers and the Trent sellers, of which I am one of them, we will come to regret those decisions and we will come to want to bring them back into our teams. Of that, I'm certain, because they are getting their players back from injury. They are starting to look more assured in their performances and they're starting to look a bit more like the Liverpool we used to. But they are definitely the biggest disappointments of these opening eight game weeks for me, for sure.
Yeah, three of the top five most transferred out players are Liverpool. Mo Salah and Trent Alexander-Arnold, as Sam said, and Darwin Nunez, though, of course, that will have been impacted by his early red card in the season. Anything you want to add on the disappointments, Jules, or are you coming from the same kind of camp as Sam and saying Liverpool, really?
No, I've got another pick in Jared Bowen.
I mean, I
don't understand. Mm. I really don't understand. I mean, 15 points simply because of the 2 points he gets every week for starting and playing, you know, over an hour. And then now and again, if they don't concede, he gets a third. But that's it. There's zero goal, zero assist. If you look at his expected goals over the seven games that he's all started, it's 1.23. He's got one shot on target in the whole season. Mm. One shot on target. I mean, I can't even understand how he went from being so good and 12 goals and 10 assists last season with, you know, West Ham team that was playing in a certain way, let's put it that way, to be so disappointing and average. I don't want to be too harsh on him because I think there's a problem with David Moyes personally. But overall, if you're Bowen, you must be really, really disappointed by your own performances. And even his expected assist over those seven games is 0.4. Mm. So he doesn't even, there's just nothing in his game. He doesn't create, doesn't have chances, doesn't shoot, doesn't do anything. So I'm very, very surprised and quite disappointed.
I bought Jarrod Bowen in this week as a bit of a punt with one of my free transfers because I thought that West Ham had one of the nicest fixtures in game week 8. They were playing against a team that historically haven't been very good defensively so far this season. They were going to be without Pickford. So I was thinking, oh, right, perfect opportunity for Bowen to kind of show us the Bowen that we knew and loved last time around. And I watched that game, and by the end of it, I was like, I don't think I've seen enough to make me even want to keep Bowen going into game week 9. Like, I think he's going to be a player that has come in for that 1 week and then immediately exit stage right, because I'm just not seeing enough from West Ham going forward, attacking-wise. Bowen hasn't got the same freedom of the pitch that we saw him have last time around. And that's restricting, like you say, the number of shots he's getting, even the number of crosses or potential assists he's getting is much lower. So I agree with you, George. He's been a massive disappointment so far.
You've got to have some patience with him, though, Sam. Surely, I mean, you brought him in last week ahead of a nice run of fixtures and, okay, a blank last game week, but he's got Wolves at home coming up, Fulham at home. I think they go to Southampton, who I'm not sure they've kept a clean sheet all season. They've got Bournemouth on the horizon as well. He's got the fixtures to play himself into form, in my opinion. So I don't think I'd be quite as keen to get rid of him as you are, but I can see where you're coming from. He certainly had a disappointing start to the season.
I think the difficulty with Bowen is that you've also got players like Maddison and Wilf Zaha who are going to have really nice runs of fixtures too. And both of them in better form. You know, we saw from Maddison against Spurs in game week 8 that he's got the potential to score against the bigger clubs. He's definitely the heartbeat of that Leicester attack. And then the same can be said of Zaha at Palace. He's the talisman, the focal point of that attack. I'm not sure we can say the same about Bowen in the West Ham attack, even if he was in good form. I'm still not sure he's the focal point of that attack. So I could save a bit of money, significant amount of money, by having Zaha over Bowen and probably get more attacking returns in the same period. It does feel a bit weird, though, Lee, you're right, to just take him out ahead of a nice run of fixtures. But sometimes you do have to forget the fixtures and just look at what's in front of you and say, well, right now you're not performing and you are the weakest part of my FPL team. And that should always be the thing you deal with first when you're making transfers.
Well, before we move on to more positive aspects of FPL and looking forward with a little bit more optimism, Lee, I've got to check in with your biggest disappointment of the season so far. I imagine as a Liverpool fan, you are in the same camp as Sam, or...
Yeah, I guess so, Kelly. Yeah, it's difficult to disagree with that. It hasn't been a great start to season for us. But what I will say is that ahead of Brighton at home in game week 9, and Liverpool do have a nice fixture in that difficult game week 12 as well that we've got to navigate on the horizon, which I think is West Ham at home. I'd have to check that. I think it's West Ham at home. It's a home game either way. What you've got is an opportunity, I think, is if you're wildcarding this week, you've got an opportunity to get back onto the Liverpool assets that so many people have got off of. So certainly I took out Trent and Salah in my wildcard last week. So I'm sitting here ahead of that Brighton at home game for Liverpool with no Liverpool assets. And if you've got a wildcard this week, you could take advantage of that. You could take advantage. I mean, Salah and Trent, if you want to go straight back into them, I would have nothing against that. Like we said before, the players coming back, they showed a bit of form in the Champions League. So difficult to say they're kind of differential. They're not really in terms of their ownership. But certainly the wildcarders this week have got an advantage where they could jump back into Liverpool ahead of anybody else that's looking to get them back.
Okay, well, we've teased wild cards a lot, haven't we? And that is because over 120,000 managers at the time of us recording this podcast on Thursday morning have activated that chip. Jules, you've been saying all season that you'd earmark this international break. Have you done it?
Not yet, but it will be done, certainly. I want to wait and want to see a bit more of the international games. And for example, I mean, we have to feel really sad for him, but Patterson with Scotland on Wednesday night, and that what looked like a bad injury. This is what we always say. I know it's tempting to do things early, and with a wild card, it stays open until the deadline anyway. So this is a little bit different. But when you make your transfers, when you make your move, or when you're trying to work out your team, always wait a little bit because, you know, you could have made a transfer already and bring Patterson in, for example, and then it could be out for a long time. So, but yeah, it will come. I feel it's the right time to review your team and to review the start of the season like we're doing now on the show. And also, like Lee was saying, look forward, have that game week 12 in mind with the blank week for City and Arsenal, and just build your team nicely for the next 6 weeks until the World Cup, where you will have obviously as many free transfers as you want. So I feel it's a right time to play it now if you haven't played it already.
Sam, what would you say to wildcarders who are looking at how to balance out their squad? Before the season, it was all about the threemium, whether you went threemium or you didn't. How should they kind of distribute their funds, and where should they be going big now, do you think?
So I think it's a really interesting question, actually, Kelly, because at this point, there are kind of four distinct wildcard setups that you could have. You could stay loyal to the traditional big at the back system, which has worked for many years. That's how last season's FPL winner Jamie Piggott won, by investing heavily in the back line, sticking with players like Cancelo, like Reece James, like Trent Alexander-Arnold, those kind of wingbacks who are going to bring you the attacking returns as well as defensive ones. But we aren't really seeing the level of returns from those top defenders, the most expensive ones, as we have in the past. And we've now got defenders like Saliba, who's coming up again, like Trippier, who offer more value for money. And you don't necessarily need to spend the big FPL pounds to have them. Then we could go for a different strategy, which is kind of big in midfield. But actually, we're not really seeing any returns from our big midfielders yet. Yes, we got three goals from Son in game week 8. But that's the first time he scored all season. So I'm not sure you really want to go heavy on that midfield, particularly when you look at Salah and obviously knowing that KDB's got a blank coming up in game week 12. So then your other option is to go big up top and to have three forwards. And I think this is where things have massively changed for FPL managers, because in seasons gone by, it's been a case of you have one premium up top, you have Kane, probably, maybe Vardy in other seasons. And then you go in with either two really, really cheap budget picks in a six-ish million pound bracket, or you go for the complete bench fodder, the players that you know are never going to start for their team, and you're basically just burning the slot. But this season, those front three spots are so important. They are the positions where players are getting the most FPL points for their millions. The top three scoring players in the game right now, Kane, Haaland and Tony, are all forwards. So investing in those three spots for me feels like what I would do first on a wild card. And then I would try and spread the budget, because like Lee said before, Liverpool are starting to have their players back and they're coming into a nice run of fixtures. We've got to navigate blanks for Arsenal and Manchester City in game week 12. So having budget across the rest of your team spread evenly feels to me like the right way to structure your team. But go in with three good forward picks and make sure that they are the focal point of what you're doing.
Okay, so Sam's saying go in first with your forwards and go from there. Who would your wild card must-haves be, Lee? I know you only wildcarded a week ago, so
and
maybe...
Don't forget, I only brought 59 points, which is as many as Sam with only 10 players. I'm just putting it back there. You know.
Just remember.
Thanks, Jules.
Okay, yeah, maybe I shouldn't be asking this. Actually, Jules and I'm joking. Lee, maybe this will be some of the players that you brought in last week, because, of course, Jules, a wild card isn't just for one game week. It's for until the unlimited transfer. Or if you do make the odd mistake, we do have transfers. You're not welded in to keep them forever, indefinitely kind of thing. You're making me waffle now, Jules, because I've completely forgotten my question.
I want
to know who Lee's wildcard must-haves would be, and he is allowed to pick players that he picked just a week ago when he only got 59 points.
I think the question is, what are my wildcard must-haves? And yes, to be honest, correct. I'm still quite keen on having a City treble up, and I know we've said it a few times already on the podcast. You've got to have a look at game week 12. City don't play. But listen, they've got back-to-back home games against Manchester United and Southampton coming up. That Manchester derby is the sort of game where, you know, a Kevin De Bruyne, a Haaland is just going to, they're going to revel in that atmosphere, aren't they? They're going to absolutely love it. And the way that they're playing right now, both of those two in particular, but also like the way that Foden's playing as well. A couple of goal and assist in a recent Champions League game as well. So he's bang on form. Difficult to say that any Manchester City midfielder has ever got a spot locked down in that Pep Guardiola team, isn't it? We know the virtues of the Pep roulette, but he is looking pretty locked in there. So any three of those Man City players is good for me. And then when I get to game week 12, I'll deal with it. Right now, I've got Haaland, De Bruyne and Cancelo. It is the most expensive way into the Man City treble up. And I'm happy that I'm doing that. Also on the wild card, Kelly, I picked James Maddison. I've picked a couple of players that I think can play themselves and their teams into a little bit of form thanks to the fixtures that they've got coming up. And we saw, despite a reasonably heavy defeat to Spurs last game week, James Maddison got the goal, looked most threatening from a Leicester perspective, and had the most shots in the box across any player in that game. So Maddison for me would be, I wouldn't say a must have on the wild card. I don't think anybody is except maybe Haaland, but James Maddison would come in for me. And I'd have a look at Zaha as well. A difficult fixture for Zaha in game week 9 coming up at home to Chelsea, but the fixtures for Crystal Palace between now and when we have that unlimited transfer window during the World Cup, I just don't think you'll find a better run of fixtures all season. And Zaha and the creativity around him in that kind of Vieira setup, the Roy Hodgson era is kind of well and truly gone. Crystal Palace are a new and different side now, and Zaha is absolutely at the heart of it. So if I were wildcarding this week, I didn't bring him in actually, Zaha, on my wildcard last week, and I'm kind of regretting it. I sort of felt like I might be booking in a transfer. And I will be, I think. I don't think I'm going to bring him in this week ahead of Chelsea. If I had a wild card, I would. But from game week 10 onwards, I'm pretty sure Will Zaha is going to be in my team.
Well, Jules, come on then. With that wild card plan, do you agree with Lee on any of those picks? Or who are the people that immediately you're thinking, I need to wild card to get them into my team?
Yeah, no, I think all the picks that Lee mentioned, the names that Sam mentioned as well, are all there. I like Perisic because, as we saw against Leicester, that he can also play obviously as a right wing back, not just left wing back, and he takes corners, and we said that before, and right foot and left foot, which I find amazing. So the names are there. The one I'm really fascinating with is Brighton and the new manager, Roberto De Zerbi, because I think one is an incredible manager, and I think we're in for a lot of fun. And they will attack loads and they will score loads of goals. They will concede loads. So I'm not sure that Brighton defensive assets are so good anymore because of the De Zerbi style of football.
That's his philosophy, isn't it, Jules? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
very much so. Fans are in for a bit of fun, I think.
Yeah, completely. Attacking wise. And again, like Sam said earlier, we will have to pick who's going to shine in the De Zerbi system. But they will score a lot of goals. It's a shame in a way that they play Liverpool and Spurs first in game week 9 and 10. Mm. So that's tough for De Zerbi. And then they will have City and Chelsea back-to-back, I think, in 12 and 13 or something like that. It would be wise at some point to put Brighton offensive asset because attacking asset because they will be really, really good going forward. This is what he does, and he's a fascinating coach. So on top of all the usual suspects, if you want, and all the names that we mentioned, the Madisons and the Zahas, plus obviously the Liverpool guys and the City guys and Son and Jesus and all of that, I think there's something. I've got a soft spot for De Zerbi, and I think he's going to do great for Brighton. So one or two Brighton assets would be good in my wild card.
You mentioned there the usual suspects from Liverpool. Given the fact that lots of people are selling Liverpool players, what are you going to do about them on your wild card?
I might just wait another week and see. I mean, I know we said that Liverpool will come back from the international break against Brighton at home. And that's tempting to bring back a Salah or Trent, like Lee said, which I agree. I'm just not too convinced yet that Liverpool are back or close to be back to where they were before, even with Thiago Alcantara coming back, who is a big part of that. So I'm just going to wait maybe a little bit more to see what kind of form Salah and Trent have on the back of the international break. And then look forward. But yeah, you can't dismiss them from your team, whether you play a wild card or not. At some point, they could well come back because they could be well back at their best as well.
Sam, you gave me such a good, well thought out, eloquent answer, as you always do, to be fair, when asking questions on the podcast about team structure, which suggests to me that you maybe are considering a wild card yourself as well. Is that fair?
Kelly, I feel like every week I come on here and I go, well, I might play my wild card, and then I don't. I was all set. Honestly, I was all set to hit the wild card button on Friday evening. So the deadline passed. I let the game update. I went on my phone. I was like, right, here comes the time, while I was watching Aston Villa play. And then I looked at my team for game week 9 and was like, oh, well, that actually looks kind of nice. Like, there's a lot of players in there that I like the look of. Like, you know, there's some punty players in there. Like, I've still got Luis Diaz in my team right now. Quite a nice pick ahead of that Brighton game, potentially. I've got Kane and I've got Haaland up top. I'd like both of them. Kane's got a good record in the North London Derby. So I look at my team and I go, I'm not sure. So I now think that with game week 12 in mind, because obviously game week 12 is quite important, because I currently have Martinelli and Jesus, along with my three Manchester City players. That's five players not playing in game week 12. Do I actually want to take those players out of my team right now? I don't think I do. So is it actually better now for me to wait with my wild card, No, I can transfer out these players in the next few weeks, replace them with the likes of Liverpool when they start to get back into their groove and into their rhythm, which I'm expecting they will. And then wildcard out of the blank game week in game week 12 to give myself a really good opportunity to target those game weeks that follow between then and the unlimited transfer window that comes at the end of game week 16. And I think right now that's going to be my strategy because I've got a lot of flexibility in my team at the moment in terms of the players that I have. There's a few differentials in there, but there are a few players that I would like if I was wildcarding that I can't quite work out how to get to. So it is a bit of a juggle and a bit of a balancing act, but I think I might just hold fire on it for now.
Who are those players that you would like if you were to wildcard?
Raheem Sterling. I've just got this real feeling that Chelsea, under Potter, from what we've seen about them in the Champions League so far, and obviously we've not really seen Potter's Chelsea yet because they haven't played in the Premier League since his arrival. But the fixtures are really nice for Chelsea coming up. They've got Crystal Palace next, as we've mentioned already when talking about Zaha. And then after that, they've got Wolves, Aston Villa, Brentford, Manchester United, Brighton. So really nice run of fixtures where if Chelsea continue to play this exploitive wing-back system and with Aubameyang now up top as a focal point, I think we could see some great stuff from Sterling. Plus he comes in at that £10 million bracket that is cheaper. It means that if you are a manager that is looking to keep your City players tool a little bit closer to their blank game week, you could just go from KDB to Sterling at that point to get you through the game week. Because obviously in that blank, when Manchester City and Arsenal were due to play each other, there's a bit of a question mark over who has the captain's armband that week. Because some of the fixtures are a bit of a challenge. Like, for example, Spurs and Manchester United are playing each other. I don't know that you really want to pick a captaincy out of that one. Liverpool do have a nice fixture that week against West Ham, depending on whether we've seen an improvement in West Ham, of course. But Chelsea have Brentford that week, and it's a London derby. I would expect to see this attacking system that we always know from Potter in terms of the wide position. So I think Sterling would be a lovely differential pick if you were wildcarding right now, and he's quite easy to budget for.
Okay, if we're going to talk about these premiums, and if we want to bring back in Liverpool, if we want to bring in Raheem Sterling, of course, we need the budget enablers. Sam, you already said earlier about Andreas Pereira, 4.6 million, exceptional value. But have you spotted any other slightly cheaper players that could provide points, Lee?
So Kelly, I have to give a shout out to our friend Praz, who, if you haven't listened to the Off the Bench podcast from a couple of days ago, he and I recorded the podcast and he said to me, he's wildcarding this week. And he said, what about Dominic Solanke? And I said, hey, you know, I haven't really seen too much from Solanke outside of that game against Forest a couple of weeks ago. But the more I think about it, the more I think it makes sense. He's 5.7 million in FPL. So he very much fits into that budget enabler bracket if you wanted to go with him as your third striker. He's 0.5% owned at time of recording. So he fits absolutely squarely into the differential bracket as well. And one of the key reasons that Praz mentioned him is that not only has he got some pretty good fixtures coming up, it's Brentford and Leicester, both at home for Solanke, coming up in 9 and 10. But crucially, in game week 12, that game week where we're going to need our budget enablers, that game week where we're going to need the likes of Solanke to come off the bench for us, he's got Southampton at home, a really nice fixture. So if you're wildcarding this week and you're looking for not just a differential, but also somebody to enable that budget elsewhere for the premiums that we mentioned, look no further, I don't think, than Dominic Solanke up front. It's a really nice pick. So shout out to Praz from the podcast earlier in the week. I think it's a great shout.
Yeah, it is a good shout. And someone that we haven't really mentioned, we haven't mentioned Bournemouth assets at all really on this podcast, have we? But they've certainly been doing well under Gary O'Neill. Well, that wraps up this week's bumper episode of the FPL Pod. Proof that even without Premier League fixtures, we can talk about FPL aplenty. Hopefully that's given you plenty of food for thought. Lee, thank you so much for coming on. We'll let you... Have you got to go to work now?
Yes, I do have to go to work now. Yes, absolutely.
We'll let you get off to the office now. Thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Coming on. Sam and Jules, as always, thanks for coming on. Any good international break plans, I should ask you all? Sam and Lee, anything planned with the kids?
Well, Sam will be playing her wild card at some stage, right? So it'll be me looking after the kids for 2 weeks solid while she tinkers with the team and thinks about Raheem Sterling.
No. I mean, I am going to be thinking about Raheem Sterling, but I don't think I'm going to wild card. I think I'm going to leave that till later.
Yeah, enjoy your international break. Jules, I imagine you're just going to be watching every match going across this break, yeah?
Yeah, and France-Austria on Thursday night, especially that one. So.
I can't believe you've got this far without me saying, that's not a France shirt you've got on there. You're wearing something slightly different. You're normally so smart. What shirt have you got on?
Oh, I've got the Brescia Roberto Baggio shirt from the 90s, which is, you know, retro shirt that I like wearing on my ESPN show. So I thought I'd show you like a little preview from it. So
proof that Jules loves football so much. He watches every single team, knows every single shirt. Well, guys, enjoy your international break. Enjoy, well, what's going to be a normal weekend for you, Jules, just watching more football. We'll be back next Thursday with a more specific look ahead to the resumption of FPL, which is, of course, game week 9. In the meantime, the guys at fantasy.premierleague.com will have heaps more help for you with your team. So do check that out and we'll see you next Thursday. Bye-bye.